Might want to open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We'll be looking a lot in there. At least a lot of the quotes will come from Galatians, from the book of Acts, Corinthians. We sang this song, Victory in Jesus. And to this evening, our message is going to be Saul versus Paul, really the amazing conversion story. And, you know, when you think about this song, according to what's in this hymnal, I guess it was written in 1939, before I was born. So when I sing those words, I heard an old story. It really fits me. But, you know, I can connect this song even far back as the Apostle Paul. I mean, if you think about this, I heard an old story. How a Messiah came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I don't think those words could fit anybody any more or less than the Apostle Paul. In writing to the churches of Galatia, the Apostle Paul, in the very first verse, he says that Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. His apostleship, his authority came from Jesus Christ and him alone. And when you look at verses 11 and 12, he goes even further. He says, "But I make it known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for neither I received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ." So this apostle became such by the authority of Jesus Christ. And we think about his conversion, and that conversion reveals some remarkable facts that I hope we can understand. I hope I make it clear. And I hope that we realize that these remarkable facts can be applied to the people that we talk to. Right? Not only does this apostle make his epistles make substantiated claims regarding his apostleship, but also provides evidence for our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I pray that it may lead other people to the same kind of faith, the same kind of conversion. And we have to realize some things about Paul that will make this a message that should be positive. You know, if Paul can be converted, anyone can be converted. And so the latter half of the first chapter in Galatians, it reveals a very significant, relevant facts concerning the Apostle Paul. And so Saul, before his conversion, that of course was his name, he persecuted the churches. In fact, he persecuted the churches beyond measure, the scripture tells us, and he tried to destroy it. That's who we're talking about. In Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 8, we can read verses 1 through 3 that he was consenting to the death of these Christians. A great persecution arose against the church, and that was, Paul was right at the forefront of that. The scriptures tell us that he made havoc on the church, entering every house, dragging men and women off, committing them to prison. This is Saul. And beyond that, and you look at in Acts chapter 9, he's breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And then something that, you know, he believed that he ought to do. He said, "I myself thought that I must do things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And when people were put to death, that scripture tells us that he cast his vote with them. We read about the death of Stephen and how this Saul, they laid their garments at the feet of this Saul, and he cast, of course, his lot in for his martyring. And so he was not the kind of guy that you would want to meet as a Christian. And in it, not just advancing, but advancing greatly. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14, he tells us that he was trained up by a scholar. That scholar's name was Gamaliel. And he was and the scripture tells us that Saul, he was brought up in the city at the feet of this Gamaliel according to the strictness of the father's law. He was zealous towards God. That's who we're talking about. And his zealousness was powerful. And you think of who Gamaliel was. He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. He was respected by pretty much all the people. Acts chapter 5 verse 34. He had power amongst the Jews. And as far as the apostle, as far as Saul goes, he was zealous beyond his contemporaries. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 12, you know, we read that he journeyed from Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. And he was out there and he had that great religious power. And he had financial backing. And so he was on that fast track to success among his peers. And he was zealous for the ancestral religious leaders, the traditions of his fathers. And so we read about his exceedingly zealous. He said, I advanced in Judaism. If you look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries of my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He was proud to be a Hebrew. He was, you know, concerning the law, he was a Pharisee, the scripture tells us, and seeking to divide the Sadducees and the Pharisees, you know, he was saying, you know, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. So Saul had it all going for him, all in the wrong direction. He was very conservative, a very strict conservative Jew from the youth, the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 26 and verses 4 and 5. From his youth among his own nation, there was nobody like him. And he was known first of all. He testified according to the strictness sect of the law. He said, I live a Pharisee. And so Pharisees were noted to be in opposition to Jesus. And he was right at the top of that list, right? The Pharisees went out, they plotted against Jesus. The scripture tells us Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14. And so here, that's where we're at. And he was very zealous, very, very excitable against all Christians, regardless of their background. And he, you know, he was naturally prejudiced against the way. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, he says, I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. That's who we're dealing with, Saul. And his conversion story has to start with all of this as we look at that, we consider. And so, what about after his conversion? Right? Galatians chapter 1 verses 15 through 20, we read those words, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20, now concerning these things which I write to you indeed, before God, I do not lie. So, not for 3 years, 15 days, he was with them. And, you know, you think about that. He didn't confer with flesh and blood When he was converted, it was all about the message of Jesus that he spiritually received from Jesus, from the Lord himself. He was so into Jesus now that nothing else mattered. And that was when Saul later on became known as Paul. And even the saints feared him greatly. In Acts chapter 9 and verses 26 through 30, when he came to Jerusalem and he tried to join the disciples, they were afraid of him. They didn't believe that this Saul could be an apostle or even a disciple. And Barnabas, remember, he took him by the hand and he brought him to the apostles, and he declared what they had learned and seen, and how the Lord had used Saul to be Paul, and how he preached boldly in Damascus. That's what happened. He immediately did 180 degree turn and became Paul after the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1 tells us that in verse 21, afterward I went into Jerusalem, into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they were hearing only that he, and listen, who formerly persecuted us, now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. He's over there. He's preaching Jesus Christ. They heard about him through the grapevine, that this guy's out there trying to kill Christians, and yet they ended up glorifying him because he was now preaching the way which he once sought to destroy. Wow. And then we think about this one, Paul. In Acts chapter 9:31, he's going all the way through Samaria. People were edified by his message. And working in the fear of the Lord, he brought comfort through the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. So his work is being done because of his zealousness now, not for the tradition of his fathers, but for his newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no question he was converted, no question that he was saved, right? For the law, through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God, for I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's a guy that was killing Christians, dragging men and women off to prisons, destroying the way, doing everything he could, and now he's been crucified in Christ. And now he doesn't live his own life anymore. He lives because Christ lives in him. And he lives by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. So you talk about his conversion to people. You know, he was the worst of the worst. And none of us could probably even come close to being what he was. But he was converted. And when we think about some other things here, there's some things that comparison, some things that should be kind of obvious. We think about the explanation for his conversion. Did he have an ulterior motive? And that's what a lot of people look for today when they hear about the prosperity preaching in churches and Holy Spirit baptism and speaking in tongues. There's an ulterior motive. You know, was the ulterior motive wealth? Here's the question. I don't think so. Because when we read how he lived his life after becoming a Christian, he left the Jews. He had money and power there, authority from the Jews. He left all that behind. He left it and moved from there into poverty. And how do we know that? Well, look at what he read, or wrote rather, to this present hour. We both, he's talking about him and those who were with him, the disciples and apostles. We both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed, beaten, homeless, a labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we endured. He was converted, and he went from the riches of Judaism, the hierarchy of Judaism, the being a Pharisee of Pharisees, to being somebody who hungered and thirst, poorly clothed, beaten, homeless, laboring, reviled, and persecuted, even left for dead. Also, right, I have coveted no one's silver or gold. Right? He never asked for anything. In fact, the scriptures tell us in Corinthians that Thessalonians that he was a tent maker and that he worked with his own hands so that he wouldn't have to ask for help from the church. Right? These hands have provided for my own, for my necessities and for those who are with me. So certainly it wasn't. Well, what about fame? Maybe he did it all for the fame. He noticed that a lot of people were starting to follow Jesus. He noticed that the Jews and the Pharisees couldn't answer back. He realized that this way is a better way and he could have great fame, right? Notability, notoriety. But then he said, we're fools for Christ's sake. You're wise. In Christ we are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. That's not a motion toward fame, right? In fact, he went on to say, being defamed, we entreat, we have been made as filth of the world, the offscoring of all things. And that word offscoring is a pretty nasty word. The Greek word means scraped off refuge. So he looked at himself now as absolutely nothing. He wasn't seeking fame. So could it have been for great power? He had that. Maybe he's looking to, he thinks when he changed lanes here that he could have even more power. I don't think so, because he said we were beaten, we were stoned, shipwrecked, robbed, sleepless, hunger, thirst, cold, nakedness. You're not finding great power there. Maybe he was deceiving or deceived himself, right? And the question is, who would deceive him? Was it the Jews, right? His Jewish circle of friends? Considering the fact that he was a champion against Christ, I don't think so. Could it have been the Christians, right? And not really, because he was the one that was out there persecuting the church. So no, they weren't able to deceive him. He, in fact, was their persecutor, when you think of that, right? I made havoc. I dragged men and women off to prison, breathing threats. And so there's no way he was being deceived. No way at all. So when we think about that, even after his conversion, many still feared him. So they're not out to deceive him. So where do we go from here? What's really the bottom line? How do we kind of put all this together? Remember that we have victory in Jesus, that old story, how a Savior came from glory and he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me, like you, like anybody in this world that will have an ear to hear, eyes to see. And we need to help people see that no matter what your sin background is, you can be converted, you can be saved because of this man who was called Saul and was converted and eventually over time was called Paul. And he wrote most of the New Testament, inspired writings, inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And so we think about that. After his conversion, they feared him, but not everybody. So we think of the explanation. Paul's testimony doesn't leave any room at all for the possibility of deception, of the desire for great wealth, the desire for great power. It only leaves room for the gospel of Jesus Christ in him, that message that he received, that he made known, that the gospel which was preached by him was not according to man. And he said, neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so this is the man that we can teach people about and help people to understand that anyone can be converted. No one is so bad that they can't be converted. And realize that Saul saw Jesus risen from the dead. His testimony doesn't allow for deception. He claimed that he received the gospel not from man, but from God. He claimed that he saw Jesus raised from the dead. He said, I last of all, right? I last of all, he was seen by me as by only one born out of due time. That was what Saul, Paul, claimed. And so just the nature of his testimony shows the possibility of deception, a desire for wealth, a desire for notoriety, right out the door. I can take that message and attach it to Peter, to James, to John, to Matthew, to Luke. Remember when you know, a disciple said to Jesus that, you know, let me go and bury my father first. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You take up your cross, you come and you follow me. Jesus told them that the foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So none of those things apply. Just the love of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, and his desire to save us from our sins and reunite us with our Creator so that one day we would see our Heavenly Father face to face. Right? And we could say he was just plain mad. Festus told him he was mad when he talked about Jesus, the resurrection, right? And he says, you know, Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning has driven you mad. It wasn't much learning that drove him mad. It was much learning that drove him to be zealous towards Jesus Christ and his message, right? Others have tried to explain away his conversion by talking about psychological terms, right? That he had such intense persecution against the Christians that gave him a guilt-ridden conscience. Don't think so. And that combined, they said, with the heat on the road to Damascus, he became delirious and he only thought he saw Jesus. I don't think so, because there were witnesses. And because he went from that road into Damascus and he was blind, he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. And when he met Ananias and Ananias gave him the message and the scales fell from his eyes, he was baptized and immediately he went and preached Jesus. There was no room for waiting. None whatsoever. And so it wasn't the heat. It wasn't a guilt-ridden conscience. And the fact that he might have been mad, none of those things fit. None whatsoever. He lived in good conscience. And even though many things were done contrary to the Lord, he converted. The only plausible explanation is his own explanation that he gives in Acts chapter 22 and verses 1 through 6. And he said this, by the way, in front of a Jerusalem mob. This is what this Paul, Saul, said. Acts chapter 22 and verses 1 through 6. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they all kept the more silent. And then he said, I am indeed a Jew born of Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women. Also, the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders from whom I received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Verse 6. And now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light shone from heaven around me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with him indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand to those who were with me, I came to Damascus. And then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. And then he said, God, the God of your fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The only explanation is that he met Jesus on that road to Damascus. And he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Well, I hope you can kind of piece some of those things together and conclude with that section in Acts chapter 9 where you read about his conversion and all the terrible things that he did, but he still was loved by God. And anybody you talk to needs to hear that kind of a message, that they're loved by God no matter who they are. God is no respecter of persons. His own testimony of the resurrection of Jesus, who spiritually appeared to him on that road, he spoke continuously for the rest of his life. So remember the remarkable conversion of Saul to Paul and be able to have the same kind of testimony to the people that you meet. And just maybe you'll convince one person that they're just not that bad and that they can be saved, their sins can be washed away in baptism. If anyone has any need this night, whether it is to ask for prayers of the church or any other thing, whatsoever that may be, we know that Jesus is waiting and he's at that door. And all we have to do is open the door. If you have a need this night, please don't hesitate whatsoever. You can be baptized tonight. You can be added to the church, or you can repent of sin and be restored to that spiritual relationship with the Father. And all you have to do now is to come forward as we stand and as we sing. Would you live for Jesus and be all-